This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Hour two, Wes. Just for folks who are tuning in for the first time, I mentioned an hour ago, it's been 87 days since we did our last live show. It's 87 days from today, the start of the 2020 ACC college football season, which is a Thursday night as of today, which would be NC State, Louisville, Clemson on the road at Georgia Tech. And who knows what it could look like, right? I mean, just think of how far we've come since we were in the Greensboro Coliseum and talking to Commissioner Swofford, and all of a sudden everything got shut down versus where we are today. I mean, so many highs and lows, and you're just not sure. It's such a fluid situation. I do expect things to be better as we move from June 8th into early September to get ready for a football season. But there is some speculation that Vince Tyree, a guy that we talked to last week, director of athletics at Louisville, there may be a change in terms of the date to move that game up a little bit, given the fact that there's a little thing called the Derby, which has been moved, which you and I have talked about a bunch on this show, to make for some kind of great, unbelievable weekend in Louisville. That would be just unbelievable. Have a Louisville football game on Thursday night, and then let's go to Churchill Downs across the street on Saturday for the run for the Roses. I mean, who knows what's going to happen?
Well, I thought the funny part about the whole Vince Tyree and the story that was in the Courier Journal last week and also WDRB.com was that they're thinking about moving the game to Wednesday night. And the first people I thought of were you and Elliot Avent, who had already cooked up this plan to go stand on the sidelines and then go to the Derby on Saturday. Well, now all of a sudden you're going to have to burn an extra day up there. But no, I think that when we start talking about football and the game experience itself, Pac, I think there's a lot to this, and I think some of it has to do certainly with the states that these schools, and you mentioned earlier the 10-state footprint the ACC has with its 15-member institutions. I think there's a lot to look at here from not only the phases that these states, and every state seems different, right, in some form or fashion. Some cities and municipalities within those states are different. So I think this is going to be a very, very interesting next, what, 6 weeks, if you will, 6 to 8 weeks to see where this kind of falls. And who knows, maybe by the time we get to early September, we're somewhere close to normal. Maybe we're still social distancing. And that's the way. And I know that's been said by some athletic directors across the country that some of these stadiums may potentially have to be social distance, which would minimize capacity. Down below a third of most of their capacities, by the way, somewhere in the neighborhood of 23 to 29%. I think that's one of the things that fans, media, anybody covering college football really has to keep in mind.
Well, you're right. And I would even take it further than 6 weeks, Wes. I think from a football perspective, getting everybody on campus, is everybody safe? Is everybody healthy? Everybody's going through tests and so forth. Marvin talked about that a little bit with us, even off the air. That's issue number one. I mean, safety's got to be priority number one. In terms of the fans, we don't have the answer on June the 8th. I'm just telling you. The answer is that there's 800 options on the table for every commissioner and athletic director to figure out and go, all right, here's scenario A, B, C, D, E, F, G. But we don't know what this thing's going to look like. And like I said, just think of all the change that we've been through since the middle of March to early June regarding the pandemic. Just think of where we've come and where we are and where you think we could possibly be by the time we get to maybe early August, mid-August, and decisions have been reached one way or the other from a tailgating perspective. How many folks can go to a game? Are we normal? I mean, I got no idea, but I do feel like we are heading in the right direction. I can't emphasize that enough from a positive standpoint. And, you know, hey, we're going to go through the summer months. Who knows what the medical professionals are going to come up with between now and then. I mean, like I said, it's such a fluid situation, but I do feel much better today than I did at any point in time in March or April or even May that we're going to have a college football season.
Well, the other part about it is, and certainly the momentum has been positive, what, the last 2 weeks? And that this is typically, that's the other thing to remember, this time of year is also what is typically a very quiet time in college athletics, right? Not a lot happens from, let's say, the 1st of June until about, well, second week in July usually, right? Right before we get to the kickoff events and things of that nature. And I think that's probably very similar to the type of year we're going to have this year. There may be some more news here and there because, you know, people might not be taking vacations. They might not be getting away as much because of one reason or another. Some may be, but I think this, we also have to remember too, when we're expecting more news to happen, that traditionally this has been also a pretty quiet time as it relates to college athletics.
Well, that is, again, traditionally correct, but there was some big news, I think, in terms of not only just the ACC from a national perspective, and that's the news on Justin Ross, who had surgery last week, will not play for Dabo's team in 2020. This is one of the very best wide receivers in the country. And, yeah, I know Dabo's recruited like nobody's business. They got frisbee-catching dogs all over the place, but this was a go-to guy for Trevor Lawrence. I'm kind of curious to see how Clemson responds to that. And, again, Justin Ross will not play in 2020. He'll still be there on campus, cheerleading, leading the guys on and all that stuff. But that's a big loss for the Clemson Tigers.
Well, and I know a year ago you talked about like Frank Ladson, Joseph Ngata, who came out of the spring a year ago as guys we thought would have maybe a bit more of an impact than they actually did in 2019. Well, now you're almost – it's a given that they're going to have that impact because – right now, the leading returning receiver at Clemson is Travis Etienne. And while we think he'll get the ball on a more regular basis, certainly, as valuable a player as he is, not only for Clemson but in college football, you certainly got to believe that Ngata and Ladson will be the headliners at wide receiver along with the guys they have stockpiled, certainly in the last couple of years from a recruiting perspective.
Well, I go back to our SiriusXM camp tour at Clemson a year ago, and everybody I talked to, I was like, all right, let's talk about Trevor Lawrence. And they're like, hey, Pack, hey, time out, man. Let me just tell you something. We got these two freshman receivers. You're not going to believe these dudes. I'm like, yeah, okay, right. I mean, we got T. Higgins over here. You got Justin Ross over there. And all anybody wanted to talk to us about were these two freshman wide receivers. Well, like you said, tagged, they're it. And they are big-time talents. And like I said, you know, when you're recruiting in a level that Clemson's recruiting at right now, Hey, here comes another four or five star dude coming off the bench to do plays. But, you know, when you also have Travis Etienne back there, Wes, it makes life a little bit easier for the Clemson Tigers as they move forward, trying to figure that out. And guys will step up and make plays. But, man, just I'll hand it off to number nine down back there. I think you're going to be okay one way or the other.
But, Mark, today, now, what's your biggest concern about Clemson? I mean, I know it's June the 8th, and you know, we can check temperatures, a month from now, maybe after we get some, speculative reports from some of these workouts. But right now, if you're a Clemson fan or alum like yourself, what's your biggest concern about this football team? Is it replacing Justin Ross? Is it, you know, John Simpson, Gage Cervenka being gone from that offensive line? Is it, you know, the impact Isaiah Simmons had a year ago, A.J. Terrell? I mean, where's your priority if you're a Clemson fan at this juncture on June the 8th, given that you didn't have much of a spring practice, you had no spring game, you know, like everybody else in this world, your off-season conditioning program has been stymied a little bit?
I think the answer to the question, Wes, is Clemson's going to be favored in every game they play, all right, with or without Justin Ross.
Yeah.
Right? So I think if you're a Clemson fan, your concern is health. If this team stays relatively healthy, I mean, they've got the talent to take care of business within the league. We've got the showdown game against Notre Dame coming up in November that the world can't wait to see. You still got Trevor Lawrence at quarterback. You got Etienne back there. You got frisbee catching dogs. I think the defensive side is going to be fun to watch because Brent Venables has done an incredible job every year basically tearing down his D and reconfiguring how they're going to play. I mean, just think of how different they were the last 2 years. Incredible defensive line 2 years ago. Last year it was more of a, man, we're going to just try to confuse you at all points in time and attack from the corners. I think they'll kind of go back to what they used to be, given how they've recruited. Can't wait to see how great some of these freshmen I keep hearing about. So I think Clemson's biggest concern is, can you stay relatively healthy? They'll figure out the wide receiver core. Guys will step up. Again, when you got a quarterback in ETN, and you're talking about two NFL first-rounders, they're going to be just fine.
So nothing's changed your mind in 87 days about Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama as it relates to three of the powder kegs in college football, right?
I just think those three teams, in my opinion, before we see anybody play, which is, again, consider yourself warned, I think those three teams are just at a different place than everybody else. And it doesn't mean somebody else can't emerge and be really good on the national perspective.
Right.
In fact, I expect it. I mean, nobody a year ago was saying, hey, man, LSU is going to be the greatest team since sliced bread. Nobody was saying that outside than the folks that are in Baton Rouge. So somebody else will emerge. It could be, you know, Georgia, Oklahoma, Penn State, Oregon, somebody. I don't know. But I just think that those three teams, the way they've recruited, what they've got established, you know, again, Ohio State's got to feel good with Justin Fields being back. I think those three teams, to me, seem to be a cut above everybody else. Doesn't guarantee a championship, doesn't guarantee a conference championship or a playoff bid, but I think sitting here in June, I feel more comfortable about those three teams than I do anybody else in the country.
Packer and Durham.
Thanks again to Marvin Wilson, who was great in hour number one. Mark Herzlich coming up here in about 15 minutes or so. But before we get to all of that stuff, Wes, lost in the pandemic and all the racial unrest, and rightfully so, is the name, image, and likeness story, which is just kind of on the back burner, right? It's just kind of simmering over here to the right while we try to figure out if we're going to have a college football season or any kind of season as we're trying to get back to a normal life. And Bubba Cunningham from the University of North Carolina had a story last week on CBSSports.com with Dennis Dodd where he laid it out there. And he wasn't cutting any corners. He just basically said there is a ton of work to do. And for everybody that just assumes that name, image, and likeness is a layup, we got some work to do on both fronts. And I thought his comments were really, really interesting. He said the membership is further and further away from Indianapolis than we've ever been. What we do is end up accepting what comes our way and then trying to deal with it. It shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't work that way. More people are now raising their hand and asking, this really doesn't make sense to me. Bubba Cunningham.
Right. Well, I think what he's doing is showing you that there is there's a lot of consternation here, Mark, between, and I'm going to go ahead and draw the line here, between the Power Five schools and maybe a couple of others and the rest of the NCAA membership. I mean, remember now, the name, image, and likeness, if you go back and think about the way this all happened, the NCAA formulated guidelines on name, image, and likeness part and parcel because Congress made them, right? I mean, they had to go to Capitol Hill. Mark Emmert was there. It was all sorts of different dynamics in play. And then the next thing you know, they're coming up with, quote, guidelines. And the guidelines are not, that's not name, image, and likeness. That is what we're thinking, you know? And this is way, 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 way out before we get something hard and fast here in terms of rules and regulations and people worried about how much money a kid's going to make. And I'm still not sure or completely convinced we're talking about a tremendous amount or tremendous number of student athletes involved in this process. But I think Bubba Cunningham is only talking about the obvious as it relates to what major college athletics is going through right now, to be honest. And I think the pandemic has shown us something else, too. That the NCAA just kind of puts it out there, and then the colleges and the universities or the membership, if we will, have to react. And I think that's also something else that comes under consideration at this point, too. Why does the NCAA feel free to, you know, offer policy and procedure and tell the membership to react rather than the membership helping to talk through the policy and the procedure?
Yeah, I just want to read a couple quotes here. Bubba said there's 5,000 professional athletes. There are 500,000 student athletes. What we do is vastly different than a professional model. The professional model is about for-profit owners and participants. The models are vastly different. Mm-hmm. And he's 100% right about that. You can't argue that point from Bubba's perspective and other ADs that may agree with that. He said, my hope between now and October is that we can build enough of a consensus that this is a bad idea. We won't adopt this legislation. Now, where this goes, it's just like us trying to figure out the college football season. I don't know, but Bubba Cunningham is pretty strong with his opinion.
All right, then let me ask you this. The inconsistencies involved in this have got to be the biggest concern, right? The inconsistencies of what name, image, and likeness could be at, say, an ACC school or a school in the Group of Five. To me, that's where, you know, we got to be. It's going to be a different scenario at one institution from another. I mean, maybe within the same footprint of the league, you know that. I mean, and he's talking about the professional model, and the college situation is not set up for the professional model. And, I see where he's coming from on this, and I think it, again, is like the NCAA has dealt cards out there and told the schools to play them, if you will.
I still like the idea that a student-athlete can profit from name, image, and likeness. And I've told you this from day one. I've said this for years on our radio show. I still think in some shape, way, or form, it needs to be tied into your education. And if you get a degree at the end of the day, man, good for you. If you play in the NFL or the NBA or the WNBA or whatever it is, awesome. But if you don't get your degree, you can't have that piece of change waiting for you from name, image, and likeness. I think it needs to be tied in to getting your degree. And if you're a one and done and you don't want to hang out in college and get your degree right away, and that's cool. Go make $1 trillion in the NBA. If you want to leave early from college and be a junior and go to the NFL, hey, man, kill it. I hope you absolutely rock it and make $1 trillion. Good for you. But whatever piece of change comes your way from name, image, and likeness while you're in school, you can't touch it until you get your degree. I think it causes all kinds of, if the law isn't right, is it not laid out right, Wes, this could be a monster headache, I think, for coaches. I mean, let's just say, for instance, that this was already in place. If you're Trevor Lawrence, you think you're going to be in demand for name, image, and likeness? Of course you are. Sam Howell, are you going to be in demand? Of course you are. And again, I don't think for 500,000 student-athletes, I think it's this tiny percentage of student-athletes that will be in demand for name, image, and likeness. But if your star quarterback or point guard or what you fill in the blank with whatever, your starting shortstop is in demand and gets paid, what happens to your locker room? What happens to your locker room when that guy or that woman walks in and all of a sudden they go, oh, yeah, there's Susie, there's Joe, who's getting paid left and right, and I'm over here not making a dime. I mean, it just causes another layer of headache, I think, for a coach. So that's why I think this needs to be written accordingly where, hey, you don't cause any friction in your locker room, but yet there's an opportunity for student-athletes to make a piece of change at the end of the day. But it's got to be tied into education, in my opinion.
Hey, Mark, let's look at it like this real quick. I mean, we've all been on college campuses a ton, right?
Yes.
Do you think we're talking about, and let's hypothetically say 350 to 500 student-athletes on any given campus, right? Now, there may be more at some depending on sports and that type thing. Do you think we are reaching double-figure athletes who will be impacted by name, image, and likeness on a college campus?
Yeah. I mean, to get paid in some shape, way, or form, yes, I do. I do.
Okay. All right. That number is higher to me. I think that 10 would be about the ceiling, in my opinion.
That's double digits.
Of a 450 to... Yeah, double digits. 10 would be the ceiling. I mean, I think 5, 6, 7, yeah, I could see that on a regular basis. But I think the outlying institutions are 10. But I agree with you. I think there's problems with it on campuses and nightmares and headaches for coaches. But I also think, too, that at some point, if name, image, and likeness becomes something, and then you're talking about, and, you know, we've talked about this with Elliot Avin a little bit last week, in that, you know, you've got the financial advisors and the quote-unquote agent retaining operation that could go on through this and stuff like that. When has that not been a headache already, right? I mean, that's already caused problems on campuses and so forth. So how do you integrate that in addition to NIL and all these other things? I think that's where Bubba Cunningham's coming from in a small step too, believe it or not.
Well, I just think, Wes, that if you're a student athlete, and it doesn't matter if I'm talking women's tennis or college football, and the school uses your likeness in some shape, way, or form, whether it be to sell tickets, billboards, merchandise, shoot, you go through the whole list of whatever. If there is a percentage that could go to the student athlete, I'm all for it. Why not that? Well, it should be a win-win proposition, but I do worry about when you get paid, because under that scenario, I think it could cause all kinds of headaches. That's why I think it should be tied into education.
Yeah, no, I think your point about education is right, but I also think too that, you know, there are plenty of hurdles to go through in this. And again, the NCAA just submitted guidelines. They didn't, no hard and fast rules, things of that nature. I mean, you know, that's the part that frustrates me, is that there's not been a lot of discussion about this. It was forced by Congress in many respects because of all the rules that were coming down from the various states. Remember California, Florida, was it Senator Walker in North Carolina? Was that the guy that was represent Congressman Walker that was moving forward with it? Those type folks. And that forced the hand of the NCAA to create guidelines on maybe what this was going to be. And beyond that, you know, given all the other things going on college campuses, I think it's a lot harder to disseminate right now. And other things more important to take care of, like how we're going to get these young people back on campus and do it in a safe and healthy fashion, as opposed to worrying about where name, image, and likeness is. And by the way, that one-year transfer thing is out there, and it got shelved for a year. So, you know, we'll see where name, image, and likeness goes. But it's clearly an item that has it's kind of, because of the pandemic and other things, been kind of pushed under the table a little bit. And it'll be back here before you know it, for sure.
Wes, I don't know about you, and I know this is an issue that obviously is going to – it's simmering, like I said, on the back burner. But given what's happened in the last 2 weeks in this country – and given what's happened really in the last 3 to 4 months with the pandemic, I don't know about you, but it's been difficult to get energized about sports. And I know that sounds counter to everything we're all mm-hmm. about on this show, but it just seems like sports has its place right now. And call me crazy, and this is just my opinion. And like I said earlier, you can respect people without agreeing or disagreeing, whatever, whichever way you want to go. But it just seems like, hey, I hope we have football. I know that I think we're going to have it. Don't know when it's going to start, when it's going to end. But it just seems kind of strange, given everything that's going on in the world, to kind of put that in front. Because you can't do it. I mean, everybody wants to figure out a way to get us kind of back into a routine and treating others with the respect that you can't go too crazy about whether or not name, image, and likeness and all this other stuff that's going on. Just saying.
Yeah, I think that's right, too. I think there's been some perspective of sports, for sure, during the pandemic. We want the sports back. We don't know how we're going to get them back. I mean, you mentioned NASCAR without fans in Charlotte and in Atlanta in the last couple of weekends. We're going to get the PGA Tour this weekend without fans. I mean, baseball, still figuring it out. NBA's obviously got a plan going forward. I think the NFL holds a big key to how ultimately team sports come back, with fans or without fans or social distance. But the value of the activity and the value of that emotion, I think, is something America needs. But in terms of the importance, there's no question. There's no question. It's been kind of put in its space, if you will, here in the last, 87 days, as you said at the top.
87. All right, before we go to break, we're trying to get all the kinks out, as you can imagine. It's been 87 days since we've done this. So let us take a phone call to see how that's operating. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number. And a regular from the past, Robin the Duke fan, joins us now. Robin, good morning.
Hey, guys. Have y'all missed me as much as I've missed y'all?
I missed that barbecue out in the backyard at 3 o'clock in the morning.
God, no, that is exactly right, brother. How the heck are you there, Wes? You taking good care of yourself there, brother?
Doing all I can, Robin. Doing all I can, man.
Taking care of Clifford there, too. Yeah, I tell you what, guys. Thing I've missed, too, is barbecue, too, man. Quite a bit. I've been kind of, you know, my job's been doing pretty good, you know, with it going on like that. But I tell you what, be glad when that football season, the mighty Blue Devils come rolling into Charlotte there the last week of November and for the ACC championship. Hey, how about them Blue Devils?
Okay.
Can't wait.
Nothing has changed, Robin.
Say what, buddy?
I said nothing has changed. Ultimate enthusiasm that David Cutcliffe's going to get the Blue Devils right back where they belong in the ACC championship.
Exactly. That's right. Chase Price and the mighty Blue Devils come rolling in. Who knows? We might sneak up on them, the mighty Tigers from down there at C-Town. You never know.
Also, should we just go ahead and put this in ink? Clemson Duke ACC Championship. Should we just go ahead and write that down on June 8th?
Yeah.
Clemson
exactly.
Duke.
Hey, let's don't play the season. We just play at the end of, right there when ACC Championship Weekend starts, you know, and everything.
All
but, guys, hey, I just want to thank you so much. I've been using the mask, but it's not. I just use it when I have to because I can't hardly. I put it on my nose, can't hardly breathe. But I tell you what, one thing we do need to do together is go in and all these drive-through places like McDonald's have a. We need to go in and invest a drive-through for big trucks. Trust me, we could retire and for some.
I never thought about that, Robin. But now it gives me another thing to worry about at night. I got to tell you.
Yeah, exactly.
I know that's exactly right.
Hey,
but anyway,
Robin.
Hey, guys. Yeah. Go ahead.
Great to hear from you, man. It's always fun to hear from you and appreciate you dialing us up on our return voyage here. But don't forget the Mighty Blue Devils got to play Mighty Elon early in the year now, Robin. So don't get too confident about, you know, the way the things are going there early.
Yes, sir. The Mighty Phoenix. I tell you what.
No, not Mighty. No, not Mighty. Remember, you
come
can't.
Come on, Pac.
And I'm being honest, you can't spell Elon without an L. Someone's going to tell you.
Oh, see?
Yeah, I know that's exactly right. But anyway, hey, guys, I want to thank you so much for taking the call. I really have missed you guys on the ACC network and everything, and I sure did enjoy it for the times that y'all was on. And it's great to be back in the saddle again.
All right, man. Take care of yourself. Be safe.
All right.
All right, buddy.
Drive through for big trucks, Wes. Put that on our to-do list. Drive through for big trucks.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah, right behind that, right after Drew Brooks and I get you on the golf course for the first time in 23 years, yeah, we'll worry about drive through for big trucks.
That is exactly right. 100% right.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Geico has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Since we've been gone for 87 days, not doing live shows, I have noticed other programs, and I will include ESPN, have decided to start doing shows from basements with pets. Have you noticed that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
Yes.
And the first time I saw it, I was like, boy, that's a really clever idea. Where could they have come up with such a great idea? I'm just saying, while we've been gone for 87 days. Have you noticed that?
Are you saying there's another morning show that is on the ESPN family of networks that has two dogs in a basement?
Yeah, I am. And I'm glad they're on the air. I mean, listen, the technical people at ESPN have done such an incredible job just to get things going. Because folks don't understand, because I would get this every day. Why aren't you guys doing a show? Well, because everything's closed. I mean, this was true even with SiriusXM, with the studios in D.C. And so the technical people behind the scenes have been sensational trying to get stuff started and moving forward. But, I'm not pointing fingers because we're all one big happy family here. But I just couldn't help but laugh when I saw dudes in the basement with pets doing shows. I was like, wow, that's a unique concept. Really clever stuff.
Yeah. No, it was good. And they had iPads and shorts on and the whole bit. It was kind of like, hey, that's where we were going. That's what we were getting ready to head to. Shorts and, you know, tee times and everything else. We were ready to ride. And now, I will say this. Chester and Fuller kind of set a standard here for the family of networks, if you will, right? I mean, that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, I mean, Chester's sound asleep over here is what we call the green room on the leather chair, and he's sound asleep, and Fuller, of course, is spread eagle underneath my feet as we speak. Real quickly before we get Herzlick on here, we would be remiss if we did not mention what I think is one of the most remarkable runs in professional sports, which ties into the ACC. As you well know, I always like to make fun a little bit of my beloved Hornets here in the NBA. In my backyard. They didn't make the playoffs. Shock. I know you're shocked.
Right.
They didn't make the playoffs.
Right.
There's another team that didn't make them close to your backyard that includes a guy by the name of Vince Carter. And will technically be the end of his career unless, of course, Jordan signs him, which is a possibility. But 22 years in the NBA, Wes, you just close your eyes and let that marinate a second to realize how good an athlete must you be to be in the National Basketball Association for four decades, 22 years, covered the span of four decades, 22 years playing the game that he loves. I mean, that is an unbelievable feat. I just want to give a shout out to Vince Carter on that.
Well, let me give you one other stat here as we go to Mark Herzlick on the phone with us. Next year in the NBA, for the first time in 55 years, there will not be a Dean Smith coach player in the National Basketball Association.
About that. Even though I'm holding out that the Hornets could sign Vince for one more year.
Well, yeah. Vince is one of those guys, as we say, Pac, he has options.
He's going to be great in television. When he decides to do that, he will be fantastic on television. All right, speaking of doing the job in TV, let's bring on one of our partners, Mr. Herzlick, joins us. Mark, how are you?
Doing good, fellas. Good to see you back on TV. It's been a fun show to watch so far.
Well, it's good to get back to work, that's for sure. And with that said, Mark, there have been some serious changes at BC across the board. We got a new football coach. We also have a new athletic director at Boston College.
Yeah, and I guess the most recent one, obviously, Pat Kraft from Temple was hired as the athletic director after Martin Jarman left for, turns out to be one of the highest paid athletic director positions at UCLA. And, good for him. He did a lot at Boston College. He built a new field house, which I think that, Wes, I know you've got a chance to see in person, but, Pat Kraft comes in from Temple, and, I think it's difficult. BC was in a tough situation where they did not know that Martin Jarman was going to leave until, probably a few weeks before he actually did, and they found Pat Kraft. And when you look at his resume, how do you judge an administrator in college sports? Well, you look at a lot of the people that they've hired. Just some of his recent hires, after Matt Rhule left to go to Baylor, who was the coach of the year at Baylor, they got it Jeff Collins. And we know Jeff Collins well, obviously, now at Georgia Tech. And then and hired Manny Diaz. People forget about the Manny Diaz hire. But he hired Manny Diaz, which lasted about 2 weeks. And then Diaz obviously went down to Miami. So, he's had a lot of experience with either ACC, pre-ACC, former ACC coaches. So it'd be interesting to see, how he fits in and how he continues this progress that BC is trying to make on an athletic front.
Hey, Mark, it was also interesting in the conversations, not only is it related to football, but I read a lot about Pat Kraft's move and then Martin's departure. And one of the things I kept hearing about Martin was how important it was that he connected with former student athletes like yourself, but guys who not only had great pro careers like yourself, but also just former student athletes, period, across the board. It's almost as if Martin built a real bridge to alums who had some athletic background in his 3-year tenure. How important will it be for Pat Kraft to kind of continue that?
Well, I think it'll be extremely important because not only did Martin Jarman do that, I think really in opposition to what Steve Adazio was doing. Steve Adazio, he was a great coach and a good mind and a good leader for the team, but he wasn't a big, let's reach out to former players type guy. And so I think that Martin Jarman was trying to do a lot of that on his own, and it worked. And he got a lot of guys back in the building. But, I mean, so far, last week, we had a football alumni call with Jeff Hafley, the other new hire, the Ohio State defensive coordinator who, came to Boston College as the head coach. But we had almost 200 former BC football players on this Zoom call with Coach Hafley. And I think it shows really the thirst that former athletes have at Boston College to become involved. And I think it's been something that the school has lacked in, is reaching back out to former players and getting them involved with the current program. So just even that initial call, it was great to see. And it's not just guys, right? I mean, Luke Kuechly and Matt Ryan were on the call, and Doug Flutie, I mean, Justin Simmons. Mm. There were guys taking times out of their day while they're currently preparing for, whenever the NFL football season starts, to come and meet this guy and see what he's all about.
Patrick Kraft, by the way, will join us tomorrow on Packer and Durham. We look forward to that interview. Mark, it's got to be refreshing to also see young people take ownership going on social media. We had Marvin Wilson on the show last hour, and it really is an interesting time for student-athletes. They have as much power and control as they ever had before. Do you find yourself kind of energized to see young people kind of saying, hey, listen, this is our time. Let's do something about it.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I watched your segment with Marvin Wilson, and just, I obviously watched what he put out on social media, and covering a couple of his games last year, I knew that he was a leader, right? And his, his kind of mindset has always been, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get to the NFL. And that's kind of what, my vision of him was, whether that's lead or follow or whatever it is. And it's funny. It's interesting how he's evolved, right? You look at this time frame that young males are in college. It's really the last of their developmental years, emotionally and mentally, and physically. And you've seen him develop and come into someone who doesn't just want to do whatever it takes to get into the NFL, but understanding that this college football thing has given him a platform. And I am so sick and tired of that person, that hater, who comes out and says, you guys are athletes, just stick to your sport. You guys are football players. Why don't you just go throw and catch and tackle? I'm so sick of it. I mean, you don't say that to accountants or to lawyers or to anybody who votes or has any sort of issue with how things run. I mean, they are talking to athletes as if they are not citizens of this country. And to me, that has to come to an end. And good for Marvin Wilson, because he is playing football in a place in the South that for hundreds of years has not been accepting of men like him taking stances. And it takes a lot of courage, and I give him a lot of props, and I love the fact that he has placed himself and matured himself into a way that as a college football player, he can use that platform and not wait until he's professional to get his beliefs out, and the beliefs that really should be filtering through all of America.
Mark, there are many college athletes who have an inspiring story or impactful stories to tell. You're certainly one of those guys. Your battle with cancer while you played at Boston College, and then you went on to the NFL, won a Super Bowl with the Giants. I mean, you've kind of hit the check marks on inspiring and impactful. This is different, though. I mean, you and your wife, Danielle, are inspiring to college campuses around the country. I know you guys do a lot of speaking and things like that. But now this is a different kind of movement, if you will. Is the athlete and, to a degree, the team sports member maybe one of the biggest cogs in this movement among young people?
Well, I think it definitely is. There's not many other platforms that give young men and women, that are potentially 18, 19, 20, there's not many other spots that give them the platform to have a voice. And I think college athletics are obviously one of them. And a lot of times for me, I mean, even been in those shoes and been around them, but, gosh, Wes, a lot of times when I'm calling these games, I'm looking at a guy in a full uniform and a mask on and a helmet. And I just, with what they can do athletically, I sometimes forget how young they are. I mean, you just kind of forget that these are people who are just becoming adults, right? They're just entering into adulthood, whether, we've donned that at 18 for whatever legal reasons that may be. They're just becoming adults. And I think that this platform has been something traditionally that is, squashed by administrators as coaches saying, let's not talk to the media. We're not going to talk to the media. We don't want you to have social media accounts. We don't want you to put things out there, whether it's to protect them or to silence them. I can't say one way or the other. I think it does a little bit of both. But how good is it to see some of these players come out and use that platform and say, hey, look, I think, I believe, I want to change and I want to do something about it. And, the reactions have been fantastic. And I don't know if either of you guys are on TikTok. I have a 21-year-old sister-in-law and she is on TikTok. But, I think that you see some of these platforms that these young people are using and they're getting these messages out there, whatever they may be. So, it's good to see that empowerment amongst really the next generation.
Mark, before we let you
go, I want to close. I want to close with this.
Go ahead, Wes.
Pac, I want to close with this real quick. Pac, Mark and his wife and son ended up in the early stages of the quarantine. Pac, they ended up in an RV from Florida back into Connecticut. Now, Herslick, I want to tell you, there are a lot of people that have great quarantine stories. But driving an RV from Florida back to Connecticut, that might be there near the top of the list now. How was that?
Oh, man. Well, I got to tell you this. I mean, it was tricky to be able to convince my wife to do it. I mean, I think that was maybe the hardest part about the whole thing. I talked to a lot of my buddies, and it's funny. They're like, oh, man, that's so cool. You took an RV. And their wives are like, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry you had to take an RV. And I was down there in Miami. We were down for the NFLPA meetings. We were voting on the new CBA. After that took place, we stayed an extra week in Miami just for a little vacation. That's really when all the travel got interrupted. And so, that extra week turned into an extra 3 or 4 weeks. And by that time, we were staying with my wife's grandparents. And I'll tell you what, staying with the grandparents for 5 weeks in a row, my wife needed to get out of there. So we called an RV company and we took two stops. We stayed overnight in South Carolina and stayed overnight in Virginia and slept in the parking lot of a Walmart and made our way back up to Connecticut. And it was quite the trek. And what they don't tell you, so it's funny. You can rent an RV, a gigantic truck, and basically a guy just comes and gives you the keys and doesn't give you any instruction. But when you drive next to 18-wheelers on the highway, it creates this wind tunnel vortex and sucks you into the other car. And I did not know that. And I got close to hitting a couple 18-wheelers on my way up. But I figured it out, and we made it safely.
Hey, Herslick, don't mess with truckers, man. They keep America moving. You vacation BCers down there in Florida trying to get home. You leave America's truckers alone, man. They keep us rocking and rolling. We don't need guys like you causing problems.
Oh, man, that is for sure.
Hey, thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
You guys are great. Thank you.
Okay. Mark Herslick, the great Boston College linebacker and part of our ACC network football crew as well. Do you like that, Pack? Don't ever get near the 18-wheelers when you're driving the RV.
Let me just tell you something. I used to have a thing called the Southern Fried Football Tour. Every Saturday in the fall for 14 years, we took that bad boy on the road. It was loaded up with beer and barbecue and all kinds of stuff, and he's right. Man, when you're driving down, I don't care if it's the Dixie Highway, 95, wherever you were headed, if there was an 18-wheeler, you had both hands on the wheel because he's right. It would suck you right into the side of a truck. So he's 100% right. All right, Wes, before we get out of here, number one, great job by everybody back in Bristol because I know life has been really difficult at ESPN, getting everything cranked up again. It's cool to be back. We'll be back every day, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10. But we've got some cool stuff from Winston-Salem, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. The quad at Wake Forest, by the way, for graduation weekend, they painted it. And, man, did this look sharp, Pac.
I loved it. A little 20 for 20 here, right?
Spell it out.
Look at that.
Yep.
How cool is that?
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.